Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Romans chapter 1, find the 18th verse. Reading from the New King James Version. For the wrath of God is revealed. Are you ready? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's talking about how when you look at creation, you look at the things that are made, it's evident that there's a God. You can look at a beautiful baby and not realize that didn't come from an ape. Every one of us have different, our fingerprints are different, our irises are different. We're all unique. There's not one that's the same. Yet we're made in God's image. You look at a flower. You look at creation and it speaks of the fact that there is a God. Verse 21. They're without excuse because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Nor were they what? Thankful. But became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were dark. In verse 22, professing to be wise, they became idiots. I mean, fools, same thing, fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God. Next slide. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Ugh. Verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served creature rather than the creator who is forever blessed. Let's stop there. Father, thank you. Move in great power in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated and you can put up the spoiler slide. The slide is no longer a spoiler. I'll call for it now. This is George Washington, a famous picture of George Washington, and it's him praying at Valley Forge. What you might not know in history is that his men, I don't know the count at Valley Forge, but you can look that up. They were having a very difficult time. Their shoes, they had no shoes, most of them. They were frostbitten. No money, no provision. Their feet were wrapped in cloths and bleeding. George Washington is said to walk out into this birchwood forest. You know what birchwood looks like. And he goes out into the forest and begins to pray. And if you look closely, now this is 1777, 1778, Valley Forge. He's burdened with the welfare of his starving, cold, discouraged army. He wanders into the secluded grove of birchwoods and begins to pray. And this guy, do you see the guy in the background? Back left, do you see him? It's a Quaker. You see the hat? You know what a Quaker is? Well, they're still around. Quakers are still around. It's Christian. But he was not a patriot. He was for England. And he listened, the story goes, that he listened to George Washington pray. And when he listened to George Washington pray, he became a patriot, and he went back and told everybody he knew, there's no way that England will prevail. The colonies are going to win. And they said, well, why would you say that? It's a superpower against like an ant. He said, because George Washington knows God. And he knelt there and he gave thanks to God for the opportunity to win freedom for the nation. while frostbit, while all the no food, starving to death, discouraged, no munitions, no money, he began to thank God. And do you know the rest of the story? These United States of America exist because they won. And I think that one of the reasons they ran, that they won, is because of prayer, the providence of God. And they had a way of just turning things for good and being thankful. Go ahead and throw the proclamation up. Thank you so much. You know what? It's rather lengthy. So once you go ahead and look that up at another time. Let me see the date. Does it have the date? By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Go ahead, next slide. Oh, let's do it. Shall we do it? Who feels like reading? Pastor Kirsten feels like reading. Can you read this for us, Pastor Kirsten? You're such a good reader. Go ahead.
People of the United States, a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of the Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to thee that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and to the favorable interpositions of his providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. Is that it? I think that was it.
Can somebody say amen? Thank you, media guys. It's just powerful to read it. That's George Washington wrote that. The Thanksgiving mandate is what I'm calling it, the Thanksgiving mandate. Gratitude is not optional. What do you mean it's not optional? Well, we just read the text. I'm going to break it down. It's very intense. In actual fact, if you wander away from gratitude, you're going to end up cursed. You're going to end up in judgment. You say, well, that's a little extra, isn't it? I heard this church was extra. That sounds extra to me. Well, it's not. We are extra, absolutely. But it's right from the Word of God. Gratitude is not optional. It really isn't. It's a very big deal. Ingratitude invites God's judgment. Come on, say that. Let it sink in. Ingratitude invites God's judgment. Ingratitude is a doorway by which you will get your vanilla booty kicked all over the universe. Is your heart grateful or entitled? Come on, go on and check yourself. Check yourself. How often do you say thank you? Have you said thank you recently? Have you said thank you to your spouse? Have you said thank you to the Lord recently? Have you thanked your life group leader or your ministry leader or those who work for you? When we came back, we had that Tuesday meeting, and I'm just so grateful for this amazing staff. As we move forward, as we traveled and fulfilled commitments in other nations to see the church moving forward, I'm just grateful for great leaders. I'm grateful for you. Many people traveling, and you decided to come to church tonight. Go ahead, bump your neighbor and say, I'm grateful you're here. Go ahead, tell them. I'm grateful you're here. But you can have a heart of gratitude and be grateful, or you can be entitled. The devastating results The devastating results of ingratitude. We're going to go through them. Verse 21, your thinking becomes twisted. What? So I'm telling you, if you're not grateful, you're going to get bent in your head. You're going to get twisted. Your thinking is going to get twisted. Is everybody in here? If you're not here, raise your hand. If you get into a place of being ungrateful, it's really pride, but I'm getting ahead of myself. If you have a stronghold of ingratitude in your thinking, then you're going to end up twisted. You'll be twisted. It says it right there in verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify God or were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Futile. Here's a New Living Translation. Yes, it says in verse 21, New Living Translation. They knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. That's the New Living Translation. Now, I'll just tell you, when I first read that, I didn't really bear witness with it. But I think it's because I was brain damaged from being ungrateful. I first came in the church all those years ago. Apparently, they tell me that I was brain damaged. My thinking had become futile. My thinking had become dark. I would hear Dr. Morocco preach and say, whoa, one of my pastors, when he came in, he was brain damaged. I thought they were talking about Pastor Kirsten or something. Not really. I thought they were talking about Pastor Brian. But to anybody but me. And it's been quite a number of years now, but I've heard it so many times, I thought, hey, Dr. Morocco, you know when you're talking about your staff pastors and there was one that came in with brain damage and he looks at me and says, yeah. I said, who was that? He says, it's you. I was like, what? He said, yeah. And we had another pastor that was in earshot listening to my conversation. I said, I wasn't brain damaged. And the other pastor says, yeah, you were. You see, if your thinking becomes twisted and you don't give thanks, if you have ingratitude that's rooted like a stronghold in your thinking, your heart will become darkened, your mind will become twisted, you'll end up in a place that's not good. So there's really a mandate from God, from Scripture, to be thankful. Come on, go ahead and give him thanks right now. Online, in Kotzebue, wherever you are, right out loud, just say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your heart becomes darkened again in verse 21. That's not a physical heart, although I will say they have linked spiritual conditions to physical conditions. There's a man, I'm trying to remember his name, but he wrote a book called The More Excellent Way. Is that what it's called? It's this big volume. It's like an encyclopedia. You can probably get it on Amazon, along with a house and a motorcycle and whatever else you want on Amazon. More Excellent Way. It's this encyclopedia where they spent years diagnosing people's sickness and disease and tying it to spiritual conditions. And I'm going to tell you, it is amazing to look up a condition that you have and then look at what the root sources were of all of their research. It's mind-blowing. It is. Thank you. It's a mind-blowing thing. Your heart becomes darkened. Gratitude brings light. Ingratitude brings darkness. You worship creation instead of the Creator, verse 23. See, when you stop thanking God, you start replacing him. Okay, I will. When you stop thanking God, you start replacing him. And you start replacing him with relationships. You replace him with money, maybe. You replace him with other things to fill the hole, to try to make yourself satisfied. I have a revelation for you. Nothing will satisfy you apart from God. Jesus is the only one that fits that hole in your heart. And if you don't put him there first and foremost and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of being and doing right, says the Amplified Version, you will end up in idolatry. You'll try to fill that with everything. You try to fill it with success. You try to fill it with ambition or finances or money or fame. You try to do all of that, and it's all idolatry. You must put Jesus, you must put God number one in your heart and be thankful. Because if you don't be thankful, you're going to end up being an idol worshiper. You'll start replacing them. Career. We put ourselves on the throne. It's a horrible thing to be on the throne. Some of you need to get off the throne and put God on the throne. Some of you have, like, he has half the throne, but you still have one cheek there. You're still there. You need to get completely off. You get that on the way home. Ingratitude always leads to idolatry. You'll become enslaved to your own lust. Verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. When you stop glorifying God, when you stop glorifying him, you start glorifying your cravings. You start glorifying your lust. You start trying to... The word in the Hebrew for soul is nefesh. It's also the word for thirst. Now that's interesting. You have a soul. You're thirsty. You are designed to walk with God. You yearn for that. You yearn to walk in wholeness and completion, to walk with him, even as Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. What Adam lost in the last garden, in the first garden, Jesus purchased back for us. And if you don't learn to walk with him, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Oh, the joy we share, sweet tarry there, none others ever known. You don't walk with Jesus and keep your heart of gratitude, then you're going to walk with the devil as who you're going to walk with. And you might not think you are, but you'll end up in deep idolatry. You'll end up toe up from the flow up. If you lose your attitude of gratitude, if you don't live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving, you'll exchange the truth. Truth is exchanged for a lie. Verse 25, truth is exchanged for a lie. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie? And worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. We justify sin, we redefine morality, we rewrite truth to fit our own selfishness. Justify ourselves. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. Deceitfully wicked, black, above all else, says Jeremiah. You need a new heart. And when you get a new heart, you'll be grateful. You'll be filled with gratitude. God judges by handing them over. Verse 28, moving quickly. God judges by handing them over to depravity. Verse 28, we didn't read that, but it's further on. We went to verse 25, but verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, New King James, to do the things which are not fitting. It's a judgment. And the root of ingratitude, the root of not being thankful, the root of it is pride. The root of ingratitude is pride. Ingratitude is self-worship. They should have given me that raise for God's sake. I've been working so blasted hard. Didn't they even see when I did this? Man, what? I'll pray for them. Gosh, doesn't she understand me? Doesn't he understand me? Start being thankful and quit belly aching. I'm going to go over here. Start being thankful. I mean, I had like I know, I'm not so happy, Pastor Kirsten, about my dad not being with all these scruples. Are like, it could be upsetting. But you know what? Something happened. I can't figure out why I'm not upset. He's not been like that. He's remembered me up until today. He's been pretty lucid. I mean, he's forgotten some things, but not really. And they said, oh, no, Dad's getting, he's getting worse. So I talked to him today, and he didn't know who I was. Now, I could get upset about that. But you know what? I for whatever reason, I'm not gonna. My dad's saved. He believes in Jesus. He thinks I'm handsome. He's proud of me. And I got to preach the gospel to him like five times over the speakerphone with everybody else listening because he couldn't remember the first time I did. I'll do it again. I want to call him so I can preach 15 times to all the families in the background. They'll be like, my God, is he going to say it again? Yes! Jesus Christ, he died on a cross. He rose again from the grave. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. You shall be saved. And I don't know. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful my dad of 87. Listen, you could get upset about some things. And there are things that are worth getting upset over. But in the end, you must bring the plumb line of God's word to the fact that even wickedness God will judge and he will turn all things for good for those that love God. Romans 8 and verse 28, he will turn all things for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So even the fact that you didn't get the raise or your wife doesn't understand you or your body hurts or maybe you've been unjustly treated somehow, begin to thank God and God will be glorified. Or you can become an idolater and worship yourself. You pick. Raise your hands to heaven and say, it's good to be in church. Hallelujah. I deserve better. Life owes me. God didn't do enough. To be ungrateful is to sit on God's throne and demand more. Let me tell you what you deserve. And the only reason I can tell you this is because I see it in scripture. And the Lord spoke it to me. I was going through a time where I was perceiving it to be very unjust. And I had crossed over into a bit of depression. And I was bellyaching before God. I'm saying, oh, God, what the heck? And then I said, man, I deserve better. And the Lord spoke to me. Everybody listening here, bump your neighbor. The Lord spoke to me. You know what he said? You know what he said to me? Say, no, I don't. He said, do you know what you deserve? And I said, no. He said, death. And I thought, oh, God. That's why I died in your place. You deserve death. And I just sat there and I was like, gosh, that's not very nice, Lord. We all deserve death. God had mercy on us. So instead of bellyaching and complaining and murmuring, releasing a destroying angel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you have to change your channel. Change your channel. Change it to what? To gratitude. I don't feel grateful. Change it. You're not, you're feeling, don't make me come over there again. Are you worshiping your feelings or are you worshiping God? Which one are you doing? Change your channel. The Lord has called you, young man. His hand is on you. You have a prophetic gift. And you're wrestling with things. I'm so glad you're in my service. Come here. God's hand is on you. Close your eyes and just hear this word. There's musical giftings on the inside of you, and there's a prophetic gifting too. The enemy's worked so very hard to try to bring a distortion, but he's been defeated. He's been defeated not because of any great strength that you have. You're still but a boy becoming a man. No, he's been defeated because your mom and dad has stood and held the line and prayed over you. And I prophesy, not many days from now, you will rise and a tremendous gift of leadership. I've given you a fine mind to understand things. You think differently. I don't want to quicken you. I'm humbling you. That's not fun. But if you allow the process to happen, he'll raise you up. Pride comes before a fall, but in humility, he raises us up. It's the opposite of the world. Demand your own way and end up in bondage. Yield, pick up your cross, daily follow him, and end up in everlasting life and freedom. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Yield to the raging waves of emotion that are stirring on the inside of you, end up in destruction. Learn to put those down, putting one foot in front of the other, loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength, and fulfill your God-given destiny and the reason that he planted you in the earth, the reason that he knit you together in your mother's womb. He's called you. He won't do your part, and you can't do his. Obey your mom and dad in the Lord, says the scriptures. And watch and see what I'll do. Holy Spirit, touch right now. Love you, kid. To be ungrateful is to sit on God's throne and demand more. And I've done it. And I got rebuked, and the Lord said, you don't deserve anything. Everything I've given you is my mercy and my kindness and my love. You deserve death, son. I'm like, oh, gosh. Don't ever cry out you deserve better. Now, listen, there's injustice, and we need to stand, certainly, for our rights. I'm not saying that we don't. Some people need to be sued. Governments sometimes need to be pushed back. The Revolutionary War needed to happen. Taxation without representation and just cruel treatment of the colonies. There's a time to revolt. I'm not saying there isn't. You don't just eat it all your life and just bow down. I'm just a worm and I'm just going to go eat dirt over here. Go, can I have another plate of dirt, please? But there's a humility, understanding that God's going to correct everything. God is so encouraging to me. God, in the end, will straighten out every record. Everything in the end, it will be straight. You cannot manipulate the Son of Man. On that day when you stand before him, all the record will be straight. You don't need to set it straight. God sets it straight, and you'll stand before him. You just start giving thanks right now. Just start giving praise to him right now. Oh, come on, thank God he saved you. He healed you. He called you. Don't shake your fist at God at how you don't. The devil wants to kill you. He wants you to be twisted in your thinking. He wants your heart to become dark. He wants you to end up in a place of idolatry. And if you lose gratitude, if you don't receive the Thanksgiving mandate, you're going to end up jacked up. You're going to end up distorted. You'll be an idolater and you might even miss heaven. All right, God's speaking to us. A Thanksgiving mandate. Number one, give thanks to God. Give thanks to who? Yeah, that's good. Give thanks to God. He's good. You know, we're walking around Israel and seeing the places where Jesus walked. I've been there four times. I've gone in the tomb every time. There's two different possible places where Jesus was buried or entombed. But to me, the garden tomb certainly fits my heart better than the other one, which is just really weird and religious. All kinds of strange things happening there. The garden tomb I want it to be that place. And it does seem like it. Archaeological evidence and all. To go into that tomb and it's empty. To sit there and realize that he rose again from the grave so that I could have life. He rose again so that I could be forgiven. And to quote Scott Quire, who came out of the tomb with hushed tones and people all around the garden there. There's many groups when we went, Scott Quire comes out beaming, steps out. There's no one there. Filled with joy. I mean, is that what he said? Or did he say it's empty? Tomb's empty. Something like, I couldn't stop laughing. I have it on my phone. It's just beautiful. He's given us life. You enter into that life by receiving him, and then you must keep the mandate of staying grateful. Thank God. Give thanks to people. Pastor Karen, thank you. I've not been the easiest at times. Thanks. You're welcome. She said thank you as well. Why don't you turn to somebody and say thank you? Thank you. You encourage me. Watch you come right out of deep darkness and look at you now. Look at this beautiful wife. Who knows? Come on, praise the Lord. Thank God. Come on, come on. I'm glad your daughter's alive. Horrible car crash and she's in a wheelchair now, but she's alive. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, look at your spouse. Thank you. Ed, thank you for ministering to people at the hospital today. Hey, Mom, thanks. You were a great mother. You were tough, but I think I needed that. Come on, look at somebody. Mitch, thank you. Come on, thank people. Don't be an ingrate. Thank you. Really enjoyed worship. Worship team, thank you. Raj, what's up? Thank you. Oh, you know what? Just get up for a second and walk around and say thank you to a couple people. Come on, come on. Unless you don't want to, and then you don't have to. Just say thanks. Did you lose 20 pounds? You look great. Praise the Lord. Come on, say thank you. Come on, say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank God and thank people. Thank people. Hey, where's Minister Tommy? Minister Tommy, thank you. Thank you for being the wild-eyed evangelist and reaching the people of Kotzebue and Point Hope. Thank you for saying yes. Come on, say thank you to a couple people. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you tonight. I want to thank you, that's right. Oh, I thank you, God. Thank you. Look, can you feel the vibe in here? Come on, it's just so Thanksgiving-like. Hey, thank you. Thank you. What's up? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you. Hey, thank you. You know you needed to hear this. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. What's up? I just want to thank you. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to people. And thirdly, as we bring this plane in for a landing, make Thanksgiving a lifestyle. Come on, say it. Make Thanksgiving a lifestyle. Or be twisted, dark, idolater, and turned over to an abased mind. Take your pick. Let me see. Be thankful and end up blessed, or be an ingrate and end up cursed. Which one will you choose? Remind yourself of this message. Tomorrow is a day of great festivities, football games, turkey, mashed potatoes, ham hocks, and collard greens. Come on, Jesus. Apple pie, pecan pie. It's a love feast tomorrow. Worship him and be thankful. So, come on, one more time, say thank you, God. You be sure to thank God, you be sure to thank people, and you live a lifestyle. Oh, I gotta say this. Moedim, raise your hand if you know what Moedim means. All right, I got one, got a two, three, four. Five. Moedim, you know what it means, raise your hand. Five, six, six, seven. Moedim is a Hebrew, did you raise your hand? It's the Hebrew word, Karen. It's the Hebrew word for appointed times. It's a word that's used for the festivals. And actually, when they were to gather at the festivals in the Old Testament, they were mandated to be happy. You're supposed to come on the Feast of Tabernacles, and you're supposed to come, and it's to be a joyful occasion. Why would God say that? Because we all have a tendency to be a bunch of complaining sad sacks, ingrates. Literally, you're commanded to be joyful. Come on, be thankful. You could be in a much worse place. You say, well, it's not as good as I want it. Well, start thanking God, and He'll take you and turn it around. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Come on, happy Thanksgiving. Got everything to give thanks for. Oh, my gosh. What time is it? Let's go longer. Oh, I know you're brining your turkey right now. Let me close this. This is my penultimate point. If you're not right with Jesus, you really need Him. You might not know that, but I tell you, you must be born again. And if you would, please, just give me 60 seconds. Nobody moving around. Don't go to the bathroom right now. Get off your cell phone. Good job. Focus. Everybody say focus. Focus. Online, Kotzebue, all y'all beautiful people. Are you right with God? Have you been born again? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Have you confessed Him? To as many as believed in Him, the Bible says, He gave them the right to become children of God. You are not His child until you believe. And to believe is more than what, as the book of James says, even the demons believe and tremble. I'm not talking about just believing that He exists. Biblical believing is believing and receiving that truth and making it yours. And that means being born again. You must be born again. You've got to receive Jesus. This might be the last service you're ever in. I don't know. You don't know either. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Jesus. Don't wait. It's the greatest life. It's the greatest adventure. Whoever told you that Christianity is boring, I don't know what, they were smoking something. I don't know what their problem is. Hard is the way of the transgressor. Living for God, it's the blessed life. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Walking with Him, talking with Him, praying and seeing His power manifested. Relationships healed. You could come in with brain damage, apparently, and be healed. If you have brain damage tonight, He wants to heal you. Some of you have been ungrateful and it's caused a darkening. Repent. Repent of that. And if you've not received Jesus for the first time, do it tonight. Number two, if you need to recommit your life to the Lord because you drifted, you're not as on fire as you used to be, and you need to come back. Come back. Come back tonight. Would you examine your heart and bow your head before we close this great service? All those online, all over the world potentially. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time, or you want to recommit to Him? Raise your hand high, unashamedly. Raise your hand. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. See that hand. Thank you, son. Online, perhaps. Pray with me. Would you repeat this after me? Very simple prayer of repentance and a declaration of Jesus, God's only son, who paid the price for your sin and mine. Pray with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you tonight to forgive me, to wash me, to cleanse me, and make me new. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give me a hunger for your word, a hunger for the things of God, a hunger for fellowship with other believers. And help me to be grateful, to be filled with thanksgiving. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. With hands raised, Holy Spirit, fill and touch, heal. I pray for those who are hurting and going through difficult times. I don't want to belittle that. Weeping endures for a night, certainly, but joy comes in the morning. And a heart that's filled with gratitude, you can just turn it around that much faster. I pray for those who are struggling. This time we could be so sad, missing loved ones, mamas who's gone to be with the Lord, or grandparents, or children who've passed, a Thanksgiving around the table, there might be some empty seats. I pray, oh God, that you would comfort these, and that you would help us to be your people who have joy that flies from our heart like a flag because you're enthroned in our lives. We'd be a people of gratitude. We wouldn't be walking around sucking on lemons. We'd be filled with gratitude to give reason for the hope that lies within us. Thank you, oh God, for all you're doing for this great nation, for this great church. We give you praise and glory for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you yet do. Would you put your hands together for Jesus and give a big amen? Stand up on your feet. May the Lord bless you. And may he keep you, and may he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, lift up his countenance towards you, and give you peace.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.